This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
If you've got time for just one source on the Trailblazers and the NBA, make it this one.
That was one of the more remarkable Dame finishes. I'm ready to call him the greatest Blazer of all time.
It's the Blazer Fan Insider with Jason Quick. Brought to you on The Fan by the Oregon Lottery Scoreboard app. Download it today and turn on notifications to get special offers and up-to-date in-game action.
All right, here's Jason as the Blazers get set to take on Utah tonight. Hello?
Hello.
Hey. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Great.
That sounded like a very genuine, just a lovely greeting between the two of you. Fine.
Great. Thanks.
Well, we were talking as to each other the other day about on text about our baseball teams.
Hot rotary baseball challenges.
I hope that never gets out because we'd be canceled, or at least I would be. Is Nurkic going to play tonight?
Yes, he will be available.
All right.
Okay, now available. Does that mean he's going to play or is it like what's
I would imagine he's going to play, but that's kind of the official way that they're stating it. Stocks addresses the media here in about 10 minutes and I'm sure he'll confirm that one way or the other, but I would expect him to start.
How do you feel about this team right now? I mean, it's we officially concluded that they just kind of suck the other day. But that's not really fair. I mean, look at them. They have a nice record, and they've got the most clutch player in the league. But they just don't beat good teams. So what do you make of them?
Yeah, I think you hit it right there on the head. I think they're a good team, but they're not an elite team or a great team. And I think in the NBA, you know, there's two very distinct pairings of teams. There's a lot of really bad teams, and there's – a collection of very good teams, and Portland's kind of right in the middle there. They're not a bad team by any stretch of the imagination, but they're really not a contender or can consider themselves elite by any stretch of the imagination either. I mean, 1-7 against the teams ahead of them in the West. That's a huge stat. And it's not just 1-7. They're not really even competing against those teams. They're losing by an average of 14 points in those 8 games. So, right. That at this point of the season has to be a concern.
To many people who see this clearly, Jason, they're the same every year. But it seems that a lot of people don't see it that clearly, or they think that the West Finals run was more what should be the expectation of this team. I mean, to me, they're the same every year. Do you feel any sort of pressure, whether it be the GM, the coach, from Damian Lillard, anywhere in the fan base, do you feel that this is different, that people are just finally fed up with them being the same every year? And they've been bouncing the first round 3 out of the last 4 years, 6 out of the last 8 times they've made the playoffs. So is the pressure mounting, or are we just going to keep this same pattern?
Oh, there's no question the pressure is mounting. And I think Terry Stotts' job is on the line. I think if he'll last throughout the season, and I think it's greatly going to depend on how successful they are in the playoffs on whether he comes back next year. I think he has to win one, possibly two playoff series to have a chance of coming back, just because the same thing is happening over and over, that they can't defend. They can't play at a championship level. I think everyone can agree that Terry Stotts is a fine coach. But after 9 years, I think the book is kind of written on him. Can he elevate this franchise to the next level? I think right now the answer is no. Now, obviously, he's had some bad luck as far as injuries, Nurk being the biggest one. Nurkic is the one guy who you can tangibly point to and say he helps this team's defense. It's historically, you can look back and see how when he's in the lineup, this team plays average to above average defense. And it's just that the past 2 years, he hasn't been able to stay healthy enough. And really two and a half years, when you throw in the 2019 playoffs, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. And so you can't really get a good gauge of this kind of iteration of the Blazers. I still think this is on paper the best collection of talent that the Blazers have had in the Lillard era, but they haven't been able to stay healthy enough to get them all on the court at the same time, in shape, gelling, and all of that. So it's really hard to kind of get a complete picture. But to circle back to your original question, yeah, I think there's a lot of people's futures on the line here. And I think Terry Stotts is at the forefront of that. I think he doesn't survive if the season continues like this. I mean, he will last to the end of the year, but I don't think he'll be back next year if they continue to play defense like this. And if they continue to play defense like this, they'll be gone in four games or five games in the first round.
So you said people, jobs, multiple. So if Stotts goes, obviously that would be the biggest shakeup under the kind of the Lillard, era. I mean, LaMarcus, I guess you could make that argument one and two. But would it be something in the offseason where you could see not only Stotts being gone, but finally a major shift being done in the roster? What other I'm interested. What other people do you think are on the line?
Well, what about the GM?
Yeah.
I don't have a sense on Olshay's future. I would think that he's under a little bit more solid footing than Terry, but I don't know that for sure. But as far as the roster, there's going to be a lot of movement, I think, on this roster regardless, just because Powell's a free agent. Collins is a free agent. Carmelo will be a free agent. Derek Jones Jr. Will have an option to decide. So, Cantner's will be a free agent. So there's a lot of potential for movement here. And I think depending on how this season finishes up and how they play in the playoffs, you could see, five or six new Blazers next year.
This is Jason Quick, our Blazers insider here on The Fan. Yeah, it's interesting about Olshay because I think Olshay and Stotts are about the same. Like, I think they're both good. They've both done a good job. Like you said, it's just that neither have been able to get to do their job well enough to get it to the next level. And that is particularly frustrating, I would imagine, to a lot of fans because you have a generational talent in Damian Lillard. So I guess, I don't know. Does firing Stotts really? What does that accomplish if you have the same GM who's making the same sort of moves that are prudent but never special? What does that do short of a major shakeup?
Well, you can have somebody who coaches defense better for starters. I think that's the main thing you'll be looking at if they do make a change at the coaching position.
Yeah, but my point is, I guess that goes hand in hand with talent. I mean, how good defensively could this team really be with this current collection of players?
I think they could be top 15. I think they could be a middle of the pack, if not slightly better. And when you combine that with a top five offense, then I think, you can be a factor. Especially when you have Damian Lillard in there. So, I would disagree. I think you guys know I have a lot of respect for Olshay. I think he's really, really sharp. I really do. And I think he's made some really good moves. I think the Nurkic trade was brilliant. I think the move for Cantor and Hood at the deadline that propelled them into the Western Conference Finals was very good. I think his move with Powell this year greatly improved this team. And I think getting Covington was much needed, and I think it's really played well for him. And I think he's drafted well. I think Zach Collins' injury has really hurt this team's timeline. I mean, they spent a lot to get him, moved up to get him at 10, and he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. I think that really hurt him.
Yeah, it's just frustrating. Like I said, I think he's done a good job, but they're in the same spot. And all these moves, they're good, but so what? If you're still sixth and you're still getting beat in the first round, like, I think fans are, you know, you see what Toronto did, and I'm not saying Olshay, well, I am kind of saying that a big swing is in order. Other teams are doing it. You see what Denver did at the trade deadline. You see what Toronto did, just literally taking the best team in the East, best record, and pulling in Kawhi Leonard, and then they win the title. Even small market teams like Minnesota tried it. Now, Minnesota failed, but they put together a pretty damn good roster. They brought in Thibodeau and brought in all these guys. I think it's the lack of big move that's like, okay, now all the chips are in. That's really what it is.
I get what you're saying, but you also have to look at it from a perspective that he has put all of his chips in Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. And they make a ton of money, which hamstrings you there in one aspect. But he locked down what he thought was going to be the future of this team, Dame, CJ, and Nurk. And to a degree, Zach was part of that. And he thought he had a pretty good nucleus there to build around. It's just that the two big guys haven't been able to stay healthy. So I think it's underrated how, you know, he has been able to maintain two stars in this town, in Dame and CJ. And he gambled on that. And you can debate that all you want, that whether or not it's smart to invest all that money in two smaller size guys who don't defend all that well. But you can also argue that, you know, hey, the league is trending toward offense and three pointers, and he's got, you know, arguably the best backcourt in the NBA. And that's the way he has gambled that. So I do think he has gone all in. It's just, it's been to keep his homegrown stars.
Yeah.
In Portland.
But the results have not garnered anything but one West Coast Finals run, Western Conference Finals run. So maybe that's good enough for people. I just think if that's it, if you're saying that's it, that's his best swing, it's not good enough because they continually lose in the first round. So that's how I would view it. But
there's no question, Isaac, that if they are bounced in the first round this year, there's going to be a lot of long, hard looks at everything in this organization. I mean, let's not forget, last year, Jody Allen paid the most money for an NBA roster. They had the highest salary. This year, they're right up against being taxed. She's forked out the dough. She has supported this team from a financial standpoint, and she has zero results for it. And from what I am told, she is very results-oriented. She needs to see what her money is getting her. And so far it hasn't gotten her anything, hasn't gotten her a playoff victory. So they need to produce. And I think they know it. And you know, who falls, I don't know. I can't forecast that, but I just don't think Terry survives this.
Okay.
If they are bounced in the first round.
Do we know? I mean, obviously this team is Damian Lillard centric. Do we know how Lillard feels about any of this? He's been, you know, known as a very, very loyal guy. Some people even say loyal to a fault. Do we know where he kind of sits in all this?
Well, he said this offseason he went to Neil and said, we need to go for it. I'd like for us to go for it. And Neil took that and, made the Robert Covington trade. The Covington trade was hard for Neil to make because he gave up two first round picks, and Neil really values first round picks because in Portland, that's the way you can get stars like Lillard and McCollum through the draft. It's very hard to get them in free agency or through trade. So that was a go for it move in Olshay's eyes, was going and getting Covington and spending two first round picks. But as far as, I think a lot is made about Dame's support for Terry and that's keeping Terry in Portland. I don't think so. I mean, Dame is very loyal to everyone within the organization. He attaches himself to it. But, remember his best friend was Tim Frazier. He was very close to Mason Plumlee. Both of those guys were traded and or moved on. And so in the end, the biggest thing that Dame cares about is winning. And I think it would hurt him if Terry was let go, but I think he would get over it and attach himself just like he did to Terry with whoever the new guy is.
Is it too early to speculate on a new guy? Like, I feel like if you're going to fire a coach like Stotts with so much continuity that they've had here, they better have a pretty good replacement in mind. Do you know of any guys that would be in the pipeline for that?
I do, but I'd rather not say. I don't want to get into that right now.
Okay. We'll circle back to that. So they've got the guards, but then on the bigs, he covets first round picks. Well, he traded up to get Zach Collins, who, and I know you like him, but taking personal relationships out of this, he's not giving him anything, and he's still out, and Nurkic is continually not healthy. How much longer can they count on these two bigs as part of the future?
Yeah. What's the cliche now that a huge skill in the NBA is availability.
Yeah.
You got to be available to be of any value, and they haven't gotten that out of Zach and Nurk. As far as Zach, I think they look to bring him back on like a 1-year prove it type deal. They've invested a lot in him. They like him. They believe in him. So I think they bring him back one more year. I think it'll be in a team friendly type deal. As far as Nurk, I don't know where they stand on him. I think Nurk has a lot to prove or a lot to show. They want to be patient with him. They want to ease him along in this process. But as we talked about earlier, he is so essential to the success of this team. But after a while, I think you have to ask yourself, is it worth waiting on him? And I think that's something that they'll probably decide over these next 22 games in the playoffs.
All this talk, you mentioned when Nurkic is healthy. I mean, is there a chance that Nurkic, you got 22 games here that he can get healthy and this really is a difference maker? Does this boil down to them out of the first round? Does it simply boil down to what Nurkic gives them?
No doubt. Because that's the only way that they will play competent defense is if he's in there at center, moving around, altering shots. They need him in there. I mean, God bless Enes Kanter. He's been great this year, but I don't think they can win a series with him defending in there. It's just, they're already going to be up against it. I don't see them finishing in the top four unless Nurk comes back and this team catches fire. But it's not looking very promising right now just because how they fared against upper echelon teams. And they've got the majority of their remaining schedule is against teams with winning records.
And do we know, I know it's, we don't have a big sample size. He's played, 16, 17 games. But at the start of this, it wasn't going so well. And I know he had some a rocky offseason. Do we know where like he's at from a mental standpoint? I mean, obviously the physical stuff is something you got to take care of. But, is he – where is Nurkic at?
I wish I could answer that better. I would have a better feel for that if I was around more often and in the locker room and seeing his interactions. But just because of the way, beat reporting is in this age, it's all over Zoom – You don't get very much interaction. So it's hard for me to say where Nurk's head's at. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's interesting because, like, you know, we're all hoping that he comes back, and you said 22 games, and I think he's been back, what, five games since this, but we've yet to see, we've yet to see it click. I'll just say that. And I know at the start of the year, he wasn't playing real well, and there were some other extenuating circumstances. And so I just think a lot of people, you know, kind of are wondering, you know, are wondering that. And it's, like you said, it's just probably hard to know.
Nurk is one of those guys that needs things to go well for him. He's not great at battling through on-court adversity. If his shot's not going, if he's getting bad calls, someone's scoring on him, things can kind of spiral on him quickly. So he works well off positive momentum. And I think it's been frustrating for him at the beginning of the season. He wasn't in great condition because of, his off season was spent tending to family stuff in Bosnia, and he probably wasn't in the best shape. And then since he's been back, you know, he's been on the minutes restriction. He doesn't feel like he can get his rhythm. He hasn't really had his shooting touch. There was one game with foul trouble. So it seems like there's always something kind of holding him back. And so that's why I think it was a really good sign to see that he's available tonight. And I think, you know, they need him. They need this to be the first step of him gaining momentum and getting back in shape and finding his rhythm, because 22 games sounds like a lot, but it'll be over like that. So he needs to find it.
Oregon Lottery scoreboard app has the Blazers 5.5-point underdogs tonight.
Jazz, baby. That's an easy bet.
That's an easy one, even though they went to OT last night with Phoenix?
Yep. You look at the Blazers' track record. They don't just lose to good teams. They lose big to good teams. So,
the Jazz played them once, and they beat them by, like, 20 the first time they played. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
That was the first game of the season.
Yeah, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, it's no countsies.
We don't count that.
No. No countsies.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, guys.